to the Novel Universe Podcast, a monthly YLA podcast hosted by Dawn Abram and Elise Martinez, YA librarians from the Chicagoland area. Each episode features reviews and rants on new and upcoming YA books. We're here to help you navigate your TBR pile. What's good, what's bad, and everything in between. I'm Dawn, the criticizer of books.
And I'm Elise, the rejecter of romance.
So turn up the volume, here we go.
Dawn and Elise.
Yes.
We are reading Wicked Saints this month, and this podcast specifically will focus on chapters 12 through 20. The last podcast we recorded was chapters 1 through 12, and you can catch that in our archives. Today, we are focusing on these middle chapters.
And these happens. Are spoilers, so yes. If you haven't read the book, stop now, read, and then come back.
Mm-hmm. So, having assumed that you've read it, let's do a mini plot synopsis of these chapters.
Okay, so Seraphine and his crew, Casper and Astia, they have arrived at
Grazik, is how we're saying it.
And
which is the capital of Trinavia. Trivania?
I don't know.
Trinavia.
Is it the capital?
I believe so, because that's where the throne room is.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
And Nadia, Malachi,
Parajan,
and
Rashid
are on their way to Grazik to Nadia's tasked with killing the king. And so they have put on some magical disguises and they're on their way trying to get through. Anna has left them and she has gone to find an outpost to join an army. She will probably be back later on, or in a different book, we do not know, because she doesn't come back up to this point. And Seraphine and Nadia cross paths in this portion, so this is a big portion. Okay, so I guess we do with the likes and dislikes.
Yeah.
Dislikes first, then likes.
Dislikes. I know you mentioned in the previous episode that you were having some difficulty with the magical system. And at the time, I was okay with it as it had stood. But in chapter 15, one of the chapters, Malachi and Nadia have this, like, theological discussion, basically, as to why their countries are at war. This is in chapter 13, by the way. Why their countries are at war, what those theological differences are, their different views on the gods, why one might be better than the other, and I totes got lost.
Okay.
So maybe we can talk about that in the podcast, because if we are, maybe other readers are as well. Granted, I didn't reread it, so I was just like, I just need to give it the first read through, and then I'll go back and try to figure it out. But maybe that's something we can talk about here.
So I think that is the pivotal chapter. That is the whole point of this conflict in this story.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time I read it through, I was like, I don't know what the hell she's trying to say here. But then as I was reading it again to prepare for the podcast, I think basically Malachi is like, why is your God correct and mine is wrong?
Well, he doesn't believe in the gods.
No, but not.
So this is his.
His way. Right, why is right. What your belief right and mine is wrong? You just have a bunch of gods telling you what to do. You have no free will and you are bound to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically having her question everything she's ever known.
Mm-hmm.
And
she does.
Yeah.
She starts to like feel that little inkling of doubt. Which I think was why I wasn't understanding what was happening, because I was like, oh shoot, she's doubting. I need to understand what's happening here.
Yeah.
And then it was just like too much for me to take in at once. So yeah, that's been my dislike in this section. Just like maybe, I don't know, I like that conversation happened between the two of them, because they both have a very unique struggle with their country's beliefs and their own backgrounds, and there's a lot of mystery to the character as well. So this is at the core of who they are, essentially, or who they've been brought up to be.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Yeah, the first time I read it, I was like, I know this is important. I don't know why. I'll come back and revisit. But the way she told it was a little convoluted.
Yeah.
And on a second reading, I start to realize, okay, this is actually an interesting choice for a teen fiction book, because you don't see this a lot, but right. I can imagine, and I did as a teen, questioning your religion, and why is Catholicism right, but Muslim is wrong? What makes your God right, or my God right, and your God wrong? I think teens start to really question religion, not necessarily denouncing it, but they are asking questions, and that's okay to be inquisitive and be informed and just ask questions. Mm-hmm. So I think that's
overall... it's realistic to the teen experience. Thing.
Yes. I just wish you had said it a little more simpler.
Exactly. So, like, that's the thing. It does need to be in the book. We need to understand why they are or are not dedicated to their faith because there's a war going on. So I understand that, or rather, I like that she understands that and is putting that in her book. So it's like, yeah, we needed a different delivery.
Yeah. So that was actually one of my likes was free choice and religion and all of that stuff. Another like I had was, is that a like or is that just an observation? I'll just mention it. No, this is more of a foreshadowing. Never mind, that's not a like. I don't want to say that's all of my likes, but those are all of, I mean, there's only 8 chapters. Mm-hmm. And that was the biggest moment in the book.
Yeah.
So.
Also, I see on your, we've got some notes in front of us. I see on your notes that you've got the witch's prophecy. We should totes go back to that and discuss that.
And that's what I was saying. It was just mentioned. It's not necessarily a like. It's just something that happens in the story. So, yeah, let's go back to that witch's prophecy, which was long as hell.
Oh,
and you expect me to believe that Seraphine remembers all of that? Negatory!
Well, it didn't make any sense. It was, like, cryptic. Like, they're having a conversation, and then all of a sudden, she's like, you drive a spike into their neck. You wait until the wailing stops. You give them the draft of blood. Drink it. Drink it all. I'm like, what is happening? And then she goes on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Why? So, okay.
Yeah, she is
Who is the spike? Or rather, what is the neck? Who is the neck? The vultures? His dad?
Crenavia? I guess it's going to come clear as the book progresses. I love a good prophecy.
I know.
I love a good prophecy. Game of Thrones is all about the prophecies. I'm all about it. This was too long. I couldn't understand what the hell she was talking about. So I guess it will all become clear.
Who's the queen?
We don't know.
It says not a queen, but a queen. Queen of the Wraith or the Dark.
What?
So yeah, we.
Right now, the queen is his mom. I don't know.
But that's not a queen.
I don't know.
Right. I was like, is it Anna? Is it Perrin?
The queen of the vultures?
Maybe.
They don't have, do they have a king?
They have a leader. The black vulture is the leader.
Yeah. So I guess pay attention to that prophecy because it's going to come back.
Yeah. In the advanced reader copy, the prophecy is on page 147 and 148. I don't know how accurate that is, but it is in chapter 13. Yeah, chapter 13.
Yeah. And the fact that she's a K-Town? What's that town?
Oh, girl, I don't know.
I've been calling it Caltane, but that is a character from Throne of Glass. Calrissian. No.
No, that's Star Wars!
I don't know. Wherever Nadia is from. That which is also from there.
Kalyazi.
Yeah, and they don't like the Kalyazians. So
no, they don't.
And so she's a witch. And
they're just called the
Kalyazi. Okay, so they're like, you know, this witch is here. So I have a feeling, is she a double agent? I don't know. I don't know where her jam is. So
I think one of the people in Nadia's group is a double agent because she says that in the prophecy, the one made of darkness. But she had previously identified someone else as the monster. So who's the monster? Which we are led to believe is Malachi. Right. So then who's the one in darkness? Rashid? Parajan?
Anna, maybe?
Little innocent Anna? Who knows?
Could be. Okay.
All right. So that's something we'll have to talk about either in the next podcast or the last one. Yeah. All right. Any other likes or dislikes for you?
Like I said, I don't have any more likes. I just have observations to discuss. Do you just want to go into
dislikes? Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Or observations?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so there's a moth that's mentioned a couple times.
Yes.
I don't know what that means.
Yes, it's clearly purposeful.
Yeah.
Because just the way that she describes the characters interacting with them. I have no theories as of yet.
No.
What do moths mean / symbolize?
I don't know if it's just a spy in the form of a moth, because it's in the witches when he's with the witch and he swats it away, and then when he goes back to talk to Casper, it's on him again. So I don't know.
I don't know if it's like some kind of like protection that she's put over him, or like,
I didn't think about that.
Like a little, I don't know. That's my theory as of right now. I haven't given much thought to it. I just noticed that I was supposed to pay attention to it and then kept reading. It's a good one.
Another observation is, okay, so I don't know what chapter this is in. Chapter 16. Mala talks Malachi. I put Mala here. Like, who the hell is Mala? Malachi. Wait, what?
Is this when they're having that theological discussion?
No. Maybe it's not Mala. Somebody is talking about a god that wanted to, no, a person that wanted to be a god. They tried to be a god. And
it was Malachi.
Was it Malachi?
Yeah.
And he died. He killed himself.
Yeah.
I think that's foreshadowing.
I do too. Yeah.
I think king.
Well, I think he might be even talking about himself here.
Oh. I was thinking he was talking about the king.
I think he's referring to himself. But that's a good theory too, because I think the king has like a King Theoden type situation. For all of you out there who read Lord of the Rings, you will understand that reference. But King Theoden was basically like, his body was physically infiltrated by the Dark Lord Saruman. So he was no longer in control of his thoughts or his actions or like what he was saying. It was like destroying his country.
Was that the one that was fighting the one guy, the You Shall Not Pass guy in the movie? No.
Who is Theoden, that guy, or is Saruman that guy?
Theoden.
Theoden, no. No, Theoden's in the second movie. Okay. Remember, he's like the old guy and he's like, he can barely speak and he's like old as hell.
I only saw it once, I don't remember.
Oh, damn. He's a major character, so.
Oh, sorry.
Yikes. But yeah, I think that has happened with the king, because at the end of Seraphine's interaction with him in chapter, like, 12 or 13, he's like, my dad tried to, his dad essentially gives him a hint of, like, talk to your mom, she'll be able to explain everything.
But then she doesn't tell him anything.
Maybe not yet.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think that's something we're supposed to be holding on to in our minds.
Yeah.
Like, the mom is the key to some of the information of what's happening here.
Well, if I can find that point,
because
in the book,
the king and his wife do not like each other, and that's common knowledge. So, like, why would the vultures think that the king would divulge important information to someone he dislikes?
But did he say that in front of the vultures?
Absolutely not.
Oh.
But Seraphine does go through those thoughts in his own mind. Like, my parents don't like each other, so of course she doesn't live here anymore. It's like, so she would be the perfect person to, like, tell a secret to, or, like, be like, hey, this is happening to me, oh shit, you know?
I don't know why I didn't mark it.
Yeah, that, I was trying to scroll through.
It's in chapter 16. I did have the foresight to put the chapter, just not the page. I think I was looking on my Kindle, that's why I didn't put the page down. But he talks about a god who tried, it's not a god, why do I keep saying that? It's a person who tried to be a god, and he killed himself. So I'm just kind of thinking it's possibly foreshadowing to what the king is trying to do. Anyway, maybe I'll find it and we'll revisit. So what do you think the motives of the vultures are? Because clearly they are influencing the king.
Yeah, I think they want total and ultimate control. Because once they have the throne out of the way, they can just act however the heck they want to and essentially end the war for their favor. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning of the book, it says that the Trinavians do not use the vultures in combat because they're very unpredictable, and frankly, their methods are, like, terrifying to everybody, even the Trinavians.
Yeah.
So it would not serve their purpose to have them out there because their own forces would not be able to perform, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their own government, like, amongst themselves. Like, they reminded me flat up of the KKK. Like, they have their own leadership, their own directives. They, like, work in tandem with some of the government officials, but not really. Like, they're their own thing.
Mm-hmm. They don't follow the king.
No, they don't.
They have their own lord or king.
They coexist pseudo-peacefully. But it's clear that the king has lost all control because he's not a powerful blood mage. So they've been able to basically use him.
Yeah. Thrown in glass vibes.
Well, yeah, and I think he, like, initially said okay to their help because he knew he wasn't a strong blood mage, but they've, like, slowly taken over control. This is my theory.
Okay.
All right.
They also mentioned that, so they're trying to bring these ladies because the king wants the Prince Seraphin to marry.
These ladies.
These ladies. To the,
the
Rockaway. What's it called?
Rockaway. She's got all kind of hot, crazy names. The Ramadan, the Rockaway, it's the Revolic.
Okay.
Revolic.
Yeah. And so then someone observes that all these people are going missing.
Oh, yeah. Their names are appearing and disappearing on this, like, guest list, so that's creepy.
So I'm not quite sure where they're going. Maybe a secret army, that's always what it is. Are the vultures getting them and turning them?
Oh, shoot. I have a feeling that one girl, remember the girl that we saw in the previous chapters, is, like, one of the people that's going to go missing. She was, like, too innocent. Remember Seraphin, like, was hitting on her at the bar? At the pub?
Oh,
what is it called?
Olden Times? Oh, that guy's daughter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's my theory. Okay.
Yeah, she's probably one of them because they were on their way.
She's soup's innocent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think the vultures are possibly taking them and, like, turning them into more vultures for their secret vulture army to take over the world.
Lord of the Rings vibes.
I can't read my own writing. How did who escape the vultures?
Oh, Malachi?
No. I don't know what that says.
How did they escape the vultures in the previous chapters?
I don't know. Somebody escaped the vultures. I don't know.
Malachi did. Well, let's move on.
How did Nadia? Because they went after Nadia. Remember, they were making, Seraphin was like, you guys are the baddest of the bad, and you let her get away?
Oh, yeah. They said that the vultures that they sent to attack them were not old. So they were, like, new vultures.
Mm-hmm.
And I got pissed at that. I was like, why the hell would you send some young tykes if you really need this girl in your possession?
That is not what I focused on, but okay.
I'm like, that makes no logical sense. You would send the best of the best to extract these people. You don't send in an army sergeant when you need the Navy SEALs to get frickin' Osama bin Laden. Come on.
Yeah, I didn't think about
that. That makes zero sense.
Well, why didn't they get her? Like, they're supposed to be great. Well, we saw the battle. So, Malachi...
They pulled something
unexpected. Okay.
Like, the combination of their magic was key to that defeat.
Oh, okay.
So, I think that is key to how they're literally going to defeat the vultures in the future.
Oh, obviously.
Right.
Because
it came up
again.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, that's how.
Okay.
Because neither side is wrong, obviously. That is the whole point of this book.
Yeah.
Like, in combination, you're stronger than if you were just by yourself. So, yeah.
Okay. Zenaida, let's talk about her. What do we think about her?
I am into her character.
Mm-hmm.
Does the prince like her?
I think they were probably betrothed, and then the king was like, nope, we're going to have Ramadan, and so now we can't. They have to compete somehow, the women do?
Yeah, of course. I'm fucking hit.
Which
I'm sick of this.
I'm not happy about.
No, I know.
And so it happens where Nadia, she is like waiting in line or something, I don't know, and some other bride.
Waiting in line for what? A funnel cake?
No, but some broad, like, she bumps into her or whatever, and that girl was like, challenge, and she, like, rips up the spell book.
Bitch got my Gucci bag.
I know.
Like, dang.
I'm like, oh, here we go with the girl hate fighting over some dumbass guy.
No.
Can we not?
I know. Yeah, that was...
Yeah. So, the whole bag bitch fight happened in the arena.
Whole bag bitch fight. HBBF.
And so she's the chosen one, and she defeats her. Well, she had help.
Yeah.
But still.
I appreciate that she needs help, because, again, it reinforces the author's theme.
True.
Yeah. And it's just more realistic that way. Like, in no way
would she be able to all of a sudden go from peeling potatoes with a prank, and now she's kicking ass and taking
in a country
names.
She knows nothing about.
Yeah.
You've been sheltered.
She didn't even know what
life?
The challenge was. The girl threw down the paper.
Exactly.
She was like, what the hell does that mean? And Enzanada was like, you've been challenged to the death.
Right. That's always my problem in fantasy novels, when, like, a character goes into a foreign land and is just navigating the land how they normally would. Is that not the most, like, American-centric way to write your novels? Like, I'm in Europe, but I'm just gonna work around. I don't know. It was just like, no, that's not how it works.
Should be.
No. So I like that.
Yeah. Another issue I am having, I remembered, is, Marzipan, what's her name?
Marzenia?
Her patron.
Marzena? Marzenia?
Saint? She's not a saint. She's a goddess, right? Mm-hmm. So Nadia's patron, all she does is like, kill them! Yeah. Kill them all! Murder them all! Marzenia. This woman has, that's all that is to her character? Can we develop her a little bit more, maybe?
Because she is the goddess of other things.
Yeah.
Like,
but even if she wasn't, kill them! I hate them all! Kill
them
all!
That's literally all she says.
She's getting on my nerves. Clearly, there's a reason for that. Like, but I feel like we're being hit over the head with it. It's like, okay.
Well, even if that's what you need her to communicate with Nadia, like, that's not the problem. Just find a different way to do it than her literally infiltrating her thoughts and be like, kill him!
That's the point.
Literally what's happening.
Yeah.
Right. Like, Nadia sometimes says that she feels a nudge at the back of her head, and it's like, we are comfortable with the sensations now, like, bring something else in.
It's not even that. It's like, what Emily Duncan is trying to tell the reader, this goddess is bad. Maybe they're all bad. Maybe they're all selfish. Hint, hint, hint. Kill, hint, hint. Like, we get the hint. Emily, calm it down.
Some readers may not.
Oh, come on.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that's one of my dislikes. I remember that.
Yeah, okay. It's a good one.
I think that's...
So she fights... This girl. Other random person.
Felicia? I don't know.
Wait. Let's backtrack real quick. In chapter 17 or something like that, assassins infiltrate the Grazik castle.
Yeah, that was a really
What's
quick...
What's happening with that?
A really quick
also,
combat.
He keeps, like, waking up with migraines or with hangovers that I'm not convinced he's actually having.
So you think somebody's getting in there?
I think somebody's getting in there, yeah.
Okay.
Or somebody's giving him something. I don't know, like, was he even drinking?
Didn't he just leave the witch's house, or is that a different chapter?
He
left his mom.
Right, so he's going to the party, right? And, wait. He still hadn't visited his mother. No, so he goes to this thing.
What chapter even?
It happens so fast. It's literally the beginning of chapter 17. He's in the gardens. There's, like, Trinavian teenagers with jars of what I'm assuming is alcohol. They're still waiting to hear back from, like, Casper, who went to the salt mines, and he still hasn't visited his mother, and then, of course, it goes right into, it was fitting, assassins chose to strike that same evening. Whoa, what?
Yeah,
sometimes her storytelling is a little bit too quick, so I was a little bit confused as to, and now suddenly, Casper and Ostia are here, and they're fighting, and they're spinning daggers, and they're shielding him, and it's like, whoa, was he even drinking?
Where did he come from?
I don't know. The witch's house?
Probably.
Yeah, he just came, no, he came from the arena where he was talking with Zanetta. Like, we don't know that he, in fact, went off to some pub and was drinking. How does he have a hangover?
I don't know.
Exactly. So, like, I think there's something up there, too. Oh, something hit the back of his head. Pain exploded. Right, so he was hit on the head, and he thinks he's having a hangover the next morning. I don't know, that's weird. It's like he's constantly waking up with them. I'm like, is this just... Are we supposed to assume he's an alcoholic, or what? I don't understand. All right, we'll put a pin in that.
I didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other thoughts?
I believe those were all of my thoughts. Yeah. That's all I had.
Yeah.
All right. What do you think is going to happen in the next couple chapters?
Well, what's his face? Does he go see his mom in this section?
Yes.
Then we should talk about that.
Well, she doesn't tell him anything, but remember, all she did was say, your dad is a monster, but somebody's pulling the strings. That's all she says.
So maybe he's the monster in the prophecy.
The dad?
Yeah. The king. Maybe. I feel like that's a specific choice of words.
Yeah, but Malachi keeps saying, I'm a monster.
But he's
so maybe that's too on
not,
the nose.
Like, right, like, he's clearly not, though. Like, he's got some really redeeming qualities.
Okay.
So, I don't know. He's the boy made in darkness, I guess. Maybe he's, I don't know. We'll see. It's, yeah. It was This was definitely, like, a second book in a series. Like, it's definitely transitional. You know, there's not, like, a ton happening here. But yet there is. Like, there's a lot of information we are getting.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the information-getting portion of the book.
Yeah.
All right, so we also have a Facebook group called The Novel Universe Podcast.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, did we call it Read Along with the Universe? No, it's called The Novel Universe Podcast, and you can hit us up over there and discuss the book. We are both on there, and we can discuss now chapters like 1 through 20, whatever you want to say about the book. That would be really cool. And next podcast will be chapters
21 through 30. And we're going to post them on Friday because Apple Podcasts does not post on Sunday.
Apparently.
Just discovered that last week. Okay.
All right, guys. We will see you in the next podcast.